If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wowee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Glenn McFarlane. I'm joined by two learned gentlemen who know all there is to know about footy, Sam Landsberger and Scott Gullen. How are you guys going?
Well, it's good to see Sammy back. Dogs have won and he's returned. Back. I like that.
Refreshed.
Spent Easter floating on the Murray River, far away from any football grounds. So you might have to steer us a bit here.
Weather was good.
Weather was great at Barham. Never heard of it before last week.
I've been to Barham many moons ago.
Not Ricky Barham.
Take me through it. What were you, water skiing or proper
bit
boats?
Bit of jet skiing, bit of stand-up paddle boring.
Oh, I like this. Do you know these Easter holidays? So you spend Easter every year in Stawell?
Stawell, yeah.
You know where I spend it?
No, on the couch.
Particular. And so it was good. You look refreshed.
I was
ready to go.
Thank you to the lovely partner and her family for hosting us.
Oh, this is good. I like this.
There must
this.
Have been more she wanted out of that trip, I'm suspecting.
There wasn't a...
Correct.
Oh, we can't say a ring, can we?
No bent knees.
No bent knees.
Very hard to do that up at the Murray as well,
isn't it? Boys, you know where there is a little bit of pressure at the moment.
Yes.
There's a lot of pressure at AFL HQ. They're going to address it later on. We're into round five, and we're in the midst of a full-blown AFL umpires crisis. Tell us about it and what's going on.
Well, you've mentioned, is Brad Scott going to show his face?
We hope so. We'll know soon.
He has to.
Surely.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Read the...
I like that, yes. We need a bit of background music.
The problem is the penalty is 50 metres. Yep. That's what's completely driving us nuts. And Nathan Buckley, to his credit, is embracing our role with us, being one of us. He doesn't miss, and he was very frustrated.
He was.
If it was 15, look, the sentiment's right, Sammy. Yeah, you don't like him charging towards the umpire and being over-the-top aggressive. I get all that. But this movement of hands, and that's 50, I'm sorry. We've lost the way.
Surely the sentiment wasn't right at the MCG on Easter Monday when all they did pretty much... Tom Mitchell and, you know,
they were 100 metres off the ball.
They looked at the screen and put their arms up in the air. And the umpire said, you're both looking at the screen and you had your arms up. It's umpire's respect, okay? Like, we all get that umpire respect is very, very important, but I think we're probably just pushing it too far, Sammy. What do you think?
I think when it shifts around week to week, that's where the frustration arises. Mm. But some of the behaviour the first month has to be applauded, and that's on the back of the AFL. Jack Riewoldt against the Bulldogs in round four gave away a free kick for a split second, wanted to go off his head, realised straight away, no, we can't do that anymore, put his hand up, apologised and sort of nodded and said, fair enough. So I think the molding
did that. There are examples.
Yeah, the molding of behaviour has been quite impressive. Yeah. It's just a shame that we're talking about 350-metre penalties when it is born out of the right reasons.
It is, and I think the idea behind it is great, and I think your point, Scotty, about maybe limiting, if it was a 15-metre for that, but then again, if it's demonstrative, I'm happy for a 50-metre one. But it's when you have instances where George Hewitt does what George Hewitt does on the weekend, doesn't get the penalty, whereas others do.
Exactly.
That's where it sort of comes and sort of hurts.
So, I mean, if it's abuse... Do we accept that it's going to be different for every umpire, and every umpire is going to have a different threshold of whether they feel abused?
Very good point.
This is what a weekend on the
Murray.
He's been
thinking about life.
It does. It
it's
gives
a very
you
good
perspective.
Point. The more experienced umpires, Ray and Matt Stevic, these people are used to having dialogue and they can handle. But
feedback.
When the younger sort of frightened umpires, and I use that term, they sometimes they look like they don't even want to blow their whistle. Any little thing in their head now, it's like, oh, hang on, I'm supposed to give a 50. So they're programmed if someone does something. Whereas the experienced ones get what...
Feel for the game.
Feel for the game is completely gone. So, all right, we're in AFL house now. They have to be sitting around. What's their solution today? They can't come out and go, okay, we're really we don't want umpires, you know, dissent, so we're just going with what we're doing.
I think they're backed into a corner. They have to go harder. They have to say, this is right, stop doing it, players. Because the second they take a backward step, undo all your good work so far.
Yeah, well, Darren Goldspink has said today that umpires at lower level are bleeding. They can't get umpires, and I get that point of view. So you would think they probably have to go hard.
What about human nature, personality? I mean, they're not robots. I mean, you can't
want robots out there, do
to
you?
Not react.
No.
Yeah, they're trying so hard. You know, this means everything. And they show a bit of emotion, a bit. Mm. There has to be a balance. You can't have them just robotically not doing a thing. Come on.
What Geelong has been told, which I would assume every club has been told, is that it's not about what you say, it's how you look. Because you can say something nice, but if your body language is poor, that's what's shown on TV, and that's what filters into lower levels of football.
That happens on the home front with me too, Sammy.
And that's what the AFL wants to avoid. So it's not really what you say, it's how you look. And
that's
I think that's and so that's what players
the clubs,
probably need
the,
to.
The you're spot on. The clubs have been this has been drilled into the players from the clubs that you cannot do this sort of stuff. I think it's the inconsistency that drives people crazy. So if it happens every time, well, you get, there's going to be a lot of people who won't be happy, and there's a lot of people. Mark Robinson's got a column now on the Herald Sun as we speak, heraldsun.com.au, and he's not happy with the way things are going, but something needs to come, doesn't it?
Oh, forget the crowd, you know, forget 80,000 on Anzac Day yelling ball, they're all going to be yelling, arms out!
Arms out! Arms out! 50! So, I'd love to see you umpire a game, Scotty. I reckon you'd handle it very...
There'd be a lot of play on.
Speaking of play on, Essendon's trying to play on at the moment, but they're not doing it very successfully. They are in a world of hurt, Sam, aren't they?
So West Coast has had COVID, and so if you park them, the Bombers are the worst team in it by that far. It's not funny.
And this is a coach who promised the system, and they did play finals last year. I bring it up every week. One of our colleagues said they're going to win the flag. Others, like me, said they won't make the eight. But I didn't think they'd be this bad. Jake the Snake Stringer is the key. They can't play without him.
And he's not playing. Anzac Day. No merit. No Stringer. No tipping Woody. So, okay, let's drill down because I've got to very soon put in my predicted 22 for Essendon this week. I'm going to say Devin Smith shouldn't play. Should be out. Are we comfortable with that? He was okay the week before when he came on. But what he did on the weekend, a couple of things, I'm like, what is going on?
He had some mates.
He did.
I mean, those shows can slow things
down.
Give them
to me, boys. I'm happy to
Darcy
take
all... Parrish isn't going to get dropped, but the video I saw of him.
They don't run.
That's what I mean.
So when your effort isn't there, my goodness, and it's round five,
Dylan Shield,
could you potentially drop? I'm going to keep him in, but he's got to be on the cusp, if he continues to... he's doing at the moment.
That's a week-to-week thing.
Yeah.
Big picture-wise, what's his future?
That's a great
question. Because
he
was signed in on this 7-year contract.
What sort of cash are we talking to, Sammy?
More than seven.
Yeah, I would have thought. I should have gone to our Herald Sun rich list that I don't have in front of me at the moment. But yeah, he's on seriously good point.
You're giving up cap space and a first-round pick and I think a second-round pick for a player that his disposal is... untrustworthy, and he's and it's questionable whether he's going to be in that long term best midfield.
Mm. What worries me, Scotty, is that the players that are having a dip are the players that are probably not good enough, and the ones that have got talent are actually not showing much at all. And I think that's a real issue with the club.
That was the embarrassing part about round one when they didn't turn up against Geelong.
Yep.
Zach Merritt said after that game, the worst part was as senior players, we felt like Archie Perkins and Nick Cox were the only ones that really put in, and that was embarrassing. And that was round one.
Yeah, and you thought there would be some sort of... Then there's been nothing, really. They were lucky to win the game that they actually did win.
They're leaking 100 points every week.
Yeah, that's the issue. They're leaking 100 points every week. And Ben Rutten said, we want to be a defensively... This, when he took over, we want to...
Champion fullback Ben Rutten.
Correct. It must be tearing his heart out that this footy... And it's... Surely, Scotty, this has to be a cultural thing with Essendon.
Like you said, effort. Anyone can do the effort. And if the senior players aren't doing it, what are the kids supposed to do? So then they're not drilled in. At the moment, they're all about, I need to get a kick to make myself look better. And we saw Devin Smith, trying to steal a goal off the kid.
That's the one that actually, I don't often swear, but when I saw that happen, I was shocked. And I thought, wait, and he missed it. He didn't kick the goal.
And they pad their stats.
Yeah,
of course they do.
You look at the heat maps, and you've got I know Heppel's played a lot of hard back this year, but him, Zach Merritt, you know, they get 35 a game and 25 are D50 or back half. Not damaging.
The worst, you know, the most points against, the lowest in tackles, pressure applied, just terrible. He must be tearing the heart out of him. It's their 150th birthday. It's not a good birthday, is it?
So. I mean, they have to have the old-fashioned, you know, go and have a night away in a farm or something and stare at each other. Because it is.
At Barham.
And because clearly it is the leaders aren't leading and the whole system's fallen apart. So you got to reboot it with effort and then you go from there. I mean, how their defensive hasn't been taught to them. I mean, Rutten's been there. This is his third year.
Yeah, it's...
So, and what's the injuries? You might claim...
Well, that's the thing. Is it to do with injuries or not?
To a certain extent, but I could name other clubs who have far greater quality missing.
And injuries don't move. The system can still be in place.
Because I look at it and I think, of those players, who's improved this year? It's a it's a tough stretch to actually find players who've actually improved.
The kid who never played.
Nick Martin.
Nick Martin.
That's it.
No, I wouldn't say it's a fluke. It wasn't a fluke, but to get him and to the impact that he's had already.
So your mob on Monday. So they've got this 10, is what I'm going to ask. They've got a long week to think about it.
So Monday.
Your mob, the Mighty Pies, who played well.
They played okay.
They played better than okay.
I'm just being frustrated.
I'm bullish about Collingwood. They're 2-3.
Yeah, I like the
And
Pies.
They should be 4-1.
This is a big game, though. This is a crunch game. Well, they win this. They square the ledger. Things are looking good again, I reckon.
Oh, I would have Collingwood $1.20,
really?
And they're $1.50.
$1.20.
They are that far.
I mean, Essendon will come out with a bit of huff and puff, but really,
We've seen the huff
if
and
Stringer
puff.
Stringer and Merritt aren't back. What more, team are they going to offer?
It's more huff than anything else, isn't it? And, boys, I just wanted to ask you about Mason Cox. There was a lot of talk about Mason Cox on the weekend and where he's at as a footballer. Given we know that this could potentially be his last year, we don't know. Had a frustrating night, but he wasn't alone in the Collingwood forward line there.
Oh, he'll be playing VFL next week.
I've got to do the Collingwood selection.
Well, Mychek's back.
Mychek's back. Ginnivan will be back as well.
He's a nice backup.
Yeah.
But that's it. Darcy Cameron's gone past him. I thought
marginally.
Kruger was really...
I think he's the one, Sam, that at least has a go. There's been some question marks on Cameron as well. He's obviously whether he comes up fit this week or not. I like the fact that Collingwood's got some guys in the VFL who are really pushing for selection. You know, Poulter, McRae, McCreary. There's a whole lot of guys there. Ollie Henry played in the VFL on the weekend. So I think whereas I look at Essendon's VFL side, and I'm like, who's bashing down the door? Baldwin will probably play this week. Wanganeen will probably play this week. But there's not a lot of guys bashing down the door, which is a concern. So who wins? Boys, before we go to a break, I need to know, you're saying $1.20.
I'd be having Collingwood at least six goals.
I'd take $1.10. Yeah, they're morals.
Oh, geez. I'm nervous at the $1.10. But, boys, I'm happy with the fact that you're all tipping Collingwood. What I want to come back is I want to have a chat about the Cats, and I want to have a chat about Patrick Dangerfield. Back in a moment. Scott Gullen knows everything that goes on at Geelong. What's going on with the Cats at the moment?
Well, I mean... I did right. I think it was maybe in the tackle of my rotation.
You don't want to do it this week, do you?
No, I had last week. Easter was a very big
issue. The bloke who's scheduled to do it this week's got a few issues.
And I said, Patrick Dangerfield, as silly as it sounds, you know, they're changing their structure, but if Patrick Dangerfield's fit and firing, they win and can win the flag. Because they've changed their game plan a little bit. That's all. Patrick Dangerfield, as we saw, 3 touches in the last quarter, game on the line. Chris Scott was cryptic. I read between the lines. So he's got niggles. And if he's in this vortex of, I can get over the line, but I can't play to my optimum, you're in trouble. Because you can't have 2 weeks off to get it fit? You know what I mean? So there's an injury. I don't know what it is. He can get on the park. He's clearly not having the impact. And that's impacting the Cats, obviously.
Don't know anything inside information here, but if they're resting Joel Selwood when he's fit, why are they playing Patrick Dangerfield when he's sore?
Absolutely. Really good question.
Is it an injury that isn't going to heal with rest? So
Dane Zorko style. Running out.
He's just got to keep turning up. But the problem is he's turning up and it's at 75%.
And if you saw him in round one, I happen to be at the game in round one.
Best on ground by length of straight.
This bloke might be worth a cheeky $10 to win a Brownlow medal because, he's had a pretty good summer. And last year we know that it was, impact leading into the season. He looked outstanding, didn't he?
So that was my feeling. Like, Dangerfield fit. Cats are legitimate.
Mm, yep.
Now they're tinkered with their game plan, and they're going to be okay. Like, I don't think it's doom and gloom, but they shouldn't lose games like that.
Who's the player that needs to stand up for them, do you think? Is there someone that needs to jump out of the pack who's a good player who needs to be a great player?
Oh, good to
it's
great.
It's a tough one because we know the exposed form on most of them, don't we?
Well, I think, I mean, Guthrie's down. I'm not saying he's a great player, but he's down from last year. I mean, Reece Stanley, the ruck just continues. You bang your head against the wall there.
The tease, the ultimate tease.
Duncan's back, which is good. Look, they're a good team. They do frustrating things. I still wouldn't want to face them when it matters because they can get hot. No. When Cameron and Hawkins are fit. But in the meantime, we're going to get games like this, Sam, which was like, you know, everyone was just sitting there going, oh, here you go, the Cats. I got two goals up. Hawthorn, a young team, showed a bit. But it went completely the other way.
They've got North Melbourne.
Win.
And then Fremantle in Geelong. Now, that win. Shapes as a really big
one. If they drop that, that's trouble.
You think they would win that. They'll beat North.
They'll beat North. They should beat Fremantle.
It's very hard to beat at home, aren't
they? The Giants in Canberra.
Yeah.
And then the Saints.
Yeah, so it's an interesting...
Ooh, that'll be speed.
It is an interesting setup.
It's a big month.
It's a big month because there's a couple of really good teams they're taking there. And I think the point we've raised constantly through this podcast is there's that little hangover. Every time you think the team's going to be the one that's going to tackle Melbourne as the next most likely, they fall over. And I'm as confused as ever.
So who have you got in your sort of... Well, power rankings or seeds or whatever we want to.
Look, Melbourne, length of the straight at the minute. Everyone's jumping on Brisbane. 2 weeks ago, Geelong beat them. Yes, it was in Geelong, but they still beat them quite easily, even though it was only a couple of goals. Collingwood pushed them, and that was a fit. I don't see Brisbane as its runaway second place, but I can't give you an option.
Because you look at it. Let's work through them. Fremantle, I'm not convinced, they've been good.
I am.
They're a good team. They're coached.
They're not going to hold up in.
Well.
I think they're a top four team. Yeah.
Wow.
They're young and they've sort of got a bit about them now.
And there's no Nat Fife.
Taberner's not going to kick seven.
Yeah.
Taberner's not going to kick seven ever again in his career.
They'll win enough games and then have a dual Brownlow medalist walk in. I think they've got all the pieces.
Brayshaw's the hottest player nearly in the comp.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
surely people can cool him down.
But they cooled him down, and then he went to a more offensive role at half forward and was similarly damaging.
So you've got Freo, number two seat.
Oh, I think Freo can finish top four. I think they're in a pack with Brisbane and St Kilda.
Yeah, St Kilda's a surprise. So,
and maybe the Dogs in that
What's his next year? We've got the best month.
Hopefully we'll get on a roll now, the Dogs. We'll learn about the Dogs in the next month, I think, won't we?
St Kilda, I mean...
They should win. I think they would be budgeting for 6 wins from the next 7 games.
Yep. So if they do that, they're fine. I still see them potentially, if they got it together, as being the most likely.
The number 2.
Yeah, the number 2. Right. But I think Fremantle have been outstanding. Have been great to watch. So have St Kilda.
The hype train, Macca. I'm big on the hype train.
The hype train, yeah.
St Kilda's riding it right now.
So you love the hype train, don't you?
GWS in Canberra on Friday night.
Is it a danger?
Oh, it's got danger written all over
it. It has.
Toby's back.
It just whiffs of hype train. Bang.
Yeah. Toby's back. He's done a power of work behind the scenes. Leon Cameron.
Who cares if he hasn't? He just has to play.
He's still going to come out and play because fair dinkum. Like,
what sort of work?
He's done a hell of a lot of match simulation and tried to do that because it's impossible.
Umpire bumping.
Leon Cameron's taking, umpire bumping. You can't do that in this day and age.
Oh, sorry.
Isn't it great that the AFL scheduled a game?
Yep.
To celebrate Toby's return from umpire touching.
Correct.
On a week where we're all about respect for umpires.
Friday night lights.
It is brilliant.
So they're taking the Taylor Walker impact that he's made immediately coming back and thinking that that's hopefully what Toby can do.
Wow.
He's sort of thought about that and he's put in a lot of work. But Leon Cameron's all but conceded that, they are in a massive form slump and doesn't know how they can get out of it. I was there on Saturday night. The 10 goals that Melbourne kicked by 10 different players was extraordinary. So you would have to think that he is, we know that he's coaching for his footy life, but the next few weeks are going to be pretty critical for Leon Cameron.
And they watched back 14 of those Melbourne goals to see how they, sort of the change that led to them. Leon, speaking about his future, was very interesting.
He was. Yeah.
I mean, he's sort of admitting, I don't know whether I want to coach next year. Yeah. I will wait until the end of the season as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Once you sort of wriggle out of that mental space, it could be hard to wriggle back into,
absolutely.
I would have thought.
Would Clarko? I'm just thinking about whether the Clarko GWS thing, whether the AFL would be super keen on that. But, You never know, do you? So Hawthorn, guys, that's the one that yesterday everyone talked about Sam Mitchell's on a hiding to nothing and whatever. He's got him playing some really attractive, entertaining footy, and he's done it with pretty much the same group that Clarko had last year.
Love to hear James Sicily speak after the game and speak about, well, under the old system, Clarko, it was far less about attack. And now Sam Mitchell has really said, righto, boys, let's get excited, let's get funky. And it's
driven from half back too, isn't it? Sicily, it is. CJ, they just
The Hawthorn back line is as good to watch as any black back line in the competition, I reckon.
You never know.
They're fantastic
can do.
To watch.
He's done a great job.
And Tom Mitchell's back to a level now that, you know, I mean, he's had some challenges, some, you know, body challenges, but gee, he's in pretty rich vein of form. And Newcomb, rising star.
Newcomb's first 5 minutes yesterday set the tone for the entire game.
Absolutely, no doubt whatsoever. The Hawks have got a big one against Sydney down in Launceston on Monday. It's a cracker Anzac Day.
Yeah, well, they play well down there.
It is. Boys, we'll take a break. I want to come back and talk to you about the mighty Blues and their third quarter issues. The Blues, Scotty, are they on your hype train or are you concerned about their third quarter? You've had them before.
I did predict the hype train.
You did predict the hype train. You said top four earlier in the year. I think I made that top four.
No, I predict they'd be okay. And then Gold Coast. Look, they clearly have issues, Sammy. You're the stats guru. I mean, stopping second halves. I mean, I know there's a theory that they're so brutal around the ball early and they've got those two gun forwards that they always start well. But then they run out of steam, and it's quite obvious. I was there at the Hawthorn game. I watched the Port Adelaide game on the weekend. I mean, again, they were lucky to probably get out of jail.
Yeah, they averaged 28 points in the first and second quarters, which is ranked first and third, and that falls to 10 and 18 points in the third and fourth quarters.
10 in the third?
10, which is obviously ranked last, and 18 in the final quarter, ranked 12th.
Wow.
So they just fall off a cliff.
It's just amazing.
And, I mean, they should have been overrun by Port Hawthorn and the Dogs. Yes. The Dogs finished with seven behinds against them.
Yeah. The only interesting thing is they are holding on. Whereas in years gone by, they would have lost by five goals the other way. But it is a concern that they've got to address. And obviously, the big thing this week is whether Patrick Cripps returns for all the super coach players out there.
How do you have a one-week hamstring? Which it sounds like he is going to
have. Yeah, they're
very
confident. They were confident that he wasn't going to miss one. He wanted to play, so it was more a twinge than anything else.
Yeah, no tear, just a tightness. But
does Perth, the Perth trip, just think, would you just hold
fire?
Well,
he's from Perth, though. They like to
get
do
back
the
over there for a few extra days.
Bonding. He'll go. Yeah.
He'll play.
Yeah, he has to play. Look, Freo. But while they've got Kerno and Mackay, they're in the race to do anything, really. Yeah. I mean, Kerno's just, what are you, five on the weekend? Mm. And he's only still finding his way. They're so good.
Do they plan to mark one in four from those two? And then the other three and four, it's all about the ground level players. So they would say they're not heavily reliant because we expect to only mark 25% of those directed entries. So I think they're really happy with what's going on when it hits the floor as well.
Yeah, it's going to be that'll be an interesting game, I reckon, won't it? So, without a doubt. The other one that, just a quick one before we go on Port Adelaide and where they're at and what's your feeling on Ken Hinckley. You know, the Zip 5, no one predicted that. Showed a little bit of life at stages on the weekend. They play West Coast. They really should win the game. But if they lose that, what happens?
Oh, I think regardless, he is long odds to be coached next year. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way he'll be there next year, to be totally honest. I think 10 years in, it's had a great career.
Yep.
Nearly got them to the final game of the year three times. But it just seems like it's the time for change is going to be right.
What do you think, Scotty?
Well, I mean, we had to see what we saw in the second half. So the young guns showed a bit. Yeah, look, they lose to West Coast. Things get accelerated tenfold. But you'd think they could handle that. What happens with Ken, I think he'll probably walk rather than get tapped. I mean, he has got another year. He'd probably do it what he feels is right for the footy club rather than have Cochie, you know, beat his chest and do it himself.
So we might have two different coaches, well, two coaches leave at the end of this year or at stages of the year with Leon and potentially Ken. Is there anyone else?
It seems like they could be both sort of mutual decisions.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well. Yeah, which is unusual for coaching.
Yeah.
And you want to be respectful because I think both of those guys have been outstanding for their footy clubs.
Great servants.
They have been outstanding. Boys, is there one thing we're looking for, like a headline for the weekend or something that you think that we can cast forward to? Is it Bombers related? Or, Scotty, have you got a new hype train?
The new hype train. I usually try and jump off the hype train. I think I'm jumping off the St Kilda hype train.
Ooh.
In a snow-infested, wet, scrappy affair, and Toby Green kicks the winning goal.
Back. How good is that? I like it.
And so. Gets reported.
He gets not for what, though? What's the
no umpires.
No umpires. Thank goodness.
He'll do something to someone.
Sammy, what do you got for us?
I'll stick on the purple wave. The Wharfie Times Saturday night, I think. Yep. Everyone's pretty bullish about these Blues, but I think they'll be put in their place.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. Looking forward to that. Boys, you've been outstanding. Scotty, if you want to do the tackle this week, you're more than happy.
It takes a lot out of me.
You're heading to Barham up there for a little bit of a weekend away.
I'm sure the chief would be happy to just slide in and have a little practice run on the real tackle.
Not sure about that. Boys, you've been outstanding. Thank you very much for listening and for all your news and views. Make sure you head to heraldsun.com.au. Thanks for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.